I was 17 years old, and I was working in a lumber yard for $14 a week. So I decided to join the Navy when I was 17. And I asked my mother, and she says, no, you are taking care of the family. And my father was very sick. He couldn't work anymore. So he says, if my son wants to go and fight for his country, I will sign for him tomorrow. The following days, we went to the recruiter, and I was sent to Santa Fe for an examination. And the two doctors were talking to each other, and I figured that they were talking about me. And I confronted the two doctors, and asked him, what's wrong? He said, you're lacking 1 pound. Mm-hmm. I said, let me tell you something. Nobody's going to deprive me of fighting for my country for just 1 pound. And the doctor makes a motion, you're in.
That's a great story.
I was sent to Fergus, Idaho for my training. And they sent us to Evansville, Indiana to pick a brand new ship, the LST-123. My duty was to take care of the power on the ship for 2 years. And I was the first gunner aboard the ship on the bow to fire at the first enemies. We knocked 2 planes down, and the last one was the most horrible thing you could ever see. A torpedo was dropped at our ship. Right close to us was another small ship, and he asked to advance, and when he advanced, he got in line of the torpedo and cut it in half, cut the other ship in half, and saved our ship that we carried 150 Marines with us.
Was this at Guadalcanal or was it at Guam?
It was before the invasion of Guam, and we were safe.
So you also wanted to sneak off and go on land, did for some reason. What can you tell me?
When we went into Guam, we started unloading. We were the first ones to go in, and they told us that we couldn't get off the ship and walk for both places, but don't go in too far because it was very dangerous. So I got off, and I decided to go and look for a Japanese wash. When I got close to the shore, I noticed rifles on the beach from east to west. As far as you could see, there were rifles all over the beach, and I believe that each rifle belongs to a Marine. And there were 2 tanks. One of them had a big round hole on it. And as I got close, I noticed a lot of humans were left. Nothing was left but just little pieces of human being. And then there was another tank right close to it, and there was a Marine standing on it, and he jumped from the tank and started running where I was coming. And he was my friend that I got to know. And then he came over and hugged me. He started crying, and then he gave me the bad news. He said, Kirker, out of 150, they killed my friends. 105 were killed, and we were only 45 left. And I cried, too. I cried with him. I cried at both of them. I cried. He said, Kirker, go back. It's too dangerous here. Go back and go back to the ship. Yeah.
So when you got back, Mario, what kind of job did you start doing?
Well, when I got back, I went to the local mine, Chino Mine Company in Hurley and Santa Rita. And then I started working there, and I said, well, what am I doing here as a laborer? I'm a diesel mechanic. And there was a big sign, diesel mechanics are needed. And I went in to the office, and the man that was there, I asked him if I could fill out an application. And he gave me, as soon as he saw me, he said, we don't have any openings. I said, well, I just got wet from the war. I fought in three major battles. And then he said, tough bang, bang, that you had to go and fight. We don't know your bang, bang thing. I felt like crying because I saw my friends, young kids, young men like myself, left behind, they die. So I felt pretty bad. I quit the job there, and I went and got another job as a blacksmith. I learned how to be a blacksmith. I was a police officer for 35 years. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Thank you, Dave. I'm very grateful myself to have known them.